Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 219 of the Elisa Unfiltered podcast. My name is Elisa, and today it is Wednesday, August the 20th, 2025. We have a juicy episode today. I haven't done an episode on self-sabotage in a long time. This is a topic I've been discussing within my team with Evolution, with World Financial Group. And boy, oh boy, I have learned a lot about this topic, especially within our culture today, today's societal beliefs around it, how we manipulate it, how we cheat it, how the sneaky ways our minds tell us we aren't self-sabotaging. And today we're deep diving. Now, I love this topic. I love you all and how much you support the show and come here for growth and perspective and advice and motivation. This does not elude me. It is such a gift to have a platform, have a show, and you guys come here and give me a lot of feedback. Okay. Today I'm bringing the sauce. So turn it up. I know every single person listening will get something from this episode. It's a guarantee. I am guaranteeing that you will get something from this episode. Yes, I am solo on the mic today. And this is sort of a continuation from last week. So last week I aired episode 218. It was called The Five Pillars of Success. And I surprisingly had a lot of positive feedback from you all. This is what I mean. I love that you listen to the show and you talk to me about it. I love the feedback. I love the communication. I love when people share on social media, when they join the conversation. Podcasting, especially solo, like I'm in a room right now by myself in front of a mic. Okay. I have notes. Yes. I have things that I want to touch on. Yes. But you know, it's a one-sided conversation and I get it. So when I get the feedback, I love it. It's super inspiring and people want to know more. And, so we're going to keep going because sure, five pillars of success, yes, but then there's that sneaky self-saboteur. It comes in and, you know, a year will pass, 5 years will pass, and we have not changed. Okay. So I love this. I love all the mindset stuff. Granted, many of you, especially those that have been here for years, know that I personally believe awareness is everything. Mindset and intuitive awareness is everything. You cannot change your internal state without recognizing your own programming. That's my belief. You can mask it. You can pretend. But the old shit, the subconscious stuff that we are not conscious of, it always prevails. And our mind is set. In other words, our mindset is the lens to which we react. We respond, we judge, we feel hurt. We wear a bunch of different hats. The victim is a big one most people wear today, and they get recognition and praise from the victimization of self. We also wear the judger, the victim judger. Sometimes it's both. And we can flip-flop between those two hats so fucking quick. Okay? This is ego at its best, at its finest. And however, we also use our mindset, the way our mind is set, our programming, to celebrate others, to lift people up, to encourage, to have like joyful moments. It's all of the spectrum here. So our mindset is the posture that we move through the world. So today, on your request, as well as this topic really being at the surface for me in my life personally, within my agency personally, and of course, all the feedback I got from you, I think about this stuff a lot. Okay. Like, you know what, when you're falling asleep, what do you think about? So many people think about like their to-do list, their relationship, oh, that thing that they wish that they said or whatever. When your mind is buzzing at night, what are you thinking of? I think about this shit. I know I'm a weirdo. Okay. I think about, you know, how I think about mindset and how I've been programmed and how other people are programmed, and watch them play out this programming that they're not even aware of, and it's not their fault. And however, it is their responsibility to acknowledge it and shift it. So it's, I think about how easily and willingly and naturally our minds are programmed, which, by the way, could also be how our minds are hijacked. I'm seeing a lot of minds being hijacked by different ideas and ideologies and people identifying with certain narratives to posture and feel superior and feel seen. Okay. It's absolutely crazy. So today is sort of like a part two to the five pillars of success. I will recap what those are shortly, but I strongly advise that you go back and listen to the episode. It's really empowering, especially if you are ready for more in your life. But today we're going to focus on why a person could know the five pillars, understand them, have them make sense, and yet the needle never moves. You don't follow them. Like, yes, I know them. Yeah. And you can, you know, sort of let it all slide. So today we're deep diving into self-sabotage because that's what that is. And how freaking sneaky our minds are around this, how sneaky our minds will justify staying the same. So this is going to be good. And again, I know all of you will resonate with some or all of this, some or all of this. Okay. So to recap, what are the five pillars of success? They are number one, identity. Number two, mindset. Number three, environment. Four is discipline. And five is vision. And again, I share a lot about each of these. We deep dive into each of these, and there are many people in the world that would disagree with me on these five pillars. Sure. And why is that? It's because they aren't hearing my words from the same lens that I am speaking them. I am not responsible for how you perceive what I'm saying. I am responsible for what I say, but not for how you perceive them. Again, I will use the example of a good mother. I could tell you what I think a good mother is, does, says, and you might disagree with me because you see a good mother from a different lens. So I see success and I understand the pillars of success as identity, mindset, environment, discipline, vision. You may disagree with me and that is fine. The question that you need to ask yourself is this working for me? Is my idea of how to be successful, is it working for me? Am I successful? Okay. So I speak only from my point of view, from my programming, from my experiences. It's kind of like this. Have you ever like read a book and like loved it? It was amazing. And then you read it again and it felt like a different book. Like you pulled so much more from it. Yeah. That's because you have expanded. When you read the book for the first time, you had some level of expansion. It was likely surface. You were on the surface. And then when you read it again, you were able to go deeper. You built capacity to go deeper into the messaging. Okay. So the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, was the book for me to change my life. It was a foundational pivot. There's been many pivots in my life that have like kept me moving into where I believe is living life by design. I'm designing my life now. I can fully confidently say that I'm living my life by design on all areas. It's actually fucking wild. It took me over a decade to get to this point. However, the Four Agreements was a big one for me because I took everything personal. I made so many assumptions. I pretended I was doing my best, but I wasn't. Like there were so many things that book just like bitch slapped me. Okay. So now I've read that book cover to cover over 20 times. And every single time I feel like I'm almost being called to read it again. Every time I read that book, I took more from it. Okay. Don Miguel Ruiz also wrote a book called The Mastery of Love. And again, I read that dozens of times and it's so layered. It's so powerful. And my then programming couldn't understand or retain the information what the first read, okay? Because I was so blocked in relationships and I wore so much invisible armor to hide myself. So the mastery of love is all about how to love yourself. Like, what is love and how you can, I guess, master it, whatever that looks like for you. And of course we all like have a definition of what love is or what we think it is. And I'm going to talk about this way later in the podcast, but it's just a really interesting thing because love does not mean the same thing for everyone. What we want in a relationship is not the same for everyone. And we all sort of fantasize about, you know, being saved and having someone take care of you forever and living happily ever after. If you had that programming, which I did, save me from myself, take care of me. I don't want to work, make lots of money and let me travel the world and have this Instagram life of fucking awesomeness. And show everyone how awesome I am and how desirable I am and how pretty I am and how rich I am and all this shit. That's not love. And the mastery of love, like, again, bitch slapped me into going way deeper. That's superficial shit. We know what superficial is. When you say, oh, that person's so superficial, we know exactly what that means. Okay. So my then programming, when I read those books, didn't understand or retain the information. Okay. So I had a ton of armor on and it took time to penetrate that armor and start to bring more awareness and self-recognition and understanding what how I was programmed to love. Love must be earned. That's what I talk about this all the time. Love must be earned. Prove it. I have to prove myself to you. Let me just give you everything for the crumbs, dangle the carrot that I never get to enjoy. I'm just going to keep proving to you. No, thanks. That's not the way I look at love now. So the same goes with success, my friends. Okay. Sure. There are outliers just like everywhere, just like in sport, every now and then, you know, in sport, it's easy for me to talk about sport. Like a phenom will enter the building, you know, like a super young, dominating person in sport. It's rare, but it happens. So the most successful athletes are a combination of two things. They're a combination of talent. So natural talent, awareness, body, you know, like their body types, they're naturally talented, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. And again, it's a combo. They work hard. Okay. So if you're less talented, you need to work twice as hard, but it's like a swirling combo between talent and hard work. If you're naturally talented, almost phenom-like, you won't have to work as hard to climb the ladder. Okay. And we see this in business and in life. So where are you in the natural talent and the hard work spectrum? Do you want to just use your natural talents and not work that hard? Right? Or do you recognize like, oh shit, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I need to work harder to figure it out. It's the exact same thing. The difference maker. And I mean, I studied this for 13 years with the National Sports Center. I all the work I did with talent identification, long-term athlete development is that the consistent winner. So the people, I'm not saying that win every event, but continuously perform their best. Okay. So obviously when you start like at World Cup level or whatever, you could perform your best and still come 40th. Okay. I'm talking about the consistent people that are continuously performing their best. That's all you can do is your best. So if that puts you at 30th, it doesn't mean you're a loser. It means that you need to keep building. Right? So I'm not saying winning doesn't mean carrying the trophy. Winning means showing up as your best. Okay. So the people that were consistent winners, the people who kept performing their best, who won, you know, who got injured maybe and like climbed back up to getting their best and improving. Okay. All of those people are a perfect combination of talent and hard work. And that is driven by their mindset. So they only have one vision. Their mindset is the lens to which they accomplish their goals or not. So some people are super talented, but they don't believe they are. That's their mindset. Some people think they work really hard. They believe they are hard workers. And then they get into a room with people who have what they want. And they're like, oh shit, I don't do half of what they do. Okay. We want shit for free. It's our culture. We want success to come easy and freely. People have mantras. They say these things all the time. And sure, it will come. It will come. However, it comes with a combination of talent and hard work. Your mindset set is the frame. So self-sabotage. Let's talk about that. It is, in my professional opinion, as I have observed it in myself, as well as in thousands of athletes firsthand, not secondhand, like literally firsthand, over 2 decades of high performance sport, is a program. So self-sabotage is a program. It's a mindset that disguises itself as logic. It really makes sense. So when we self-sabotage, we do it because it makes sense. We don't do anything that doesn't make sense ever. Okay. So I'm going to talk about self-sabotage. I'm not talking about it actually like most people. I'm going to talk about it. Most people talk about self-sabotage as like a surface thing, as opposed to like a deeper identity shift thing. And I'm going to explain what the difference between the two. The surface is great. It's a starting point. You know, however, we as a society, culture, you know, and individuals within the society and culture, we are so superficial. We are being programmed to be superficial. In other words, we're obsessed with how we look. We are obsessed with what people think of us or our perception. We want to look successful instead of actually doing the things to be successful. Like, I know I have friends that just want to look like they have successful businesses. Meanwhile, they're struggling so hard. They don't know who they are. They feel like imposters. People want to look rich instead of be rich. In other words, there's an obsession about the superficial, the surface, the appearance. Yet inside, we've never been more exhausted as a society and culture. We've never been more frustrated, alone feeling, like feeling alone, insecure, sick. People are getting sick. This is actually creating a sickness. Like, more people are mentally sick than ever, and they keep buying into this obsession of the surface. The masking is at an all-time high. And yes, masking is a form of self-sabotage. Okay. Now listen, I'm willing to bet that if you listen to the show and or others like it, really, there's a huge part of you that already knows that surface shit ain't long-term happiness or a sense of security. It's fleeting. You know, it's fleeting. That new car feeling, you know, it wears off. That new outfit that you're obsessed with, and you take a whole bunch of pictures and look at how good I look. It's now crammed in the back of your closet and you're never going to wear it again. It's fleeting. All of this surface shit is fleeting. That trip that changed your life. It's out of sight, out of mind, and you're back at the grind. You're doing exactly what you always do. Get it? Okay. So let's go back to the book analogy. The first time that you read the book that changed your life, we've all done it. We've all had those books. They're like, oh, that was so good. Okay. When you read that book, you're going to be on the surface. That change is superficial. Okay. The surface is, in other words, sort of like the first time you become aware. Oh my gosh, I am the self-sabotager. It will feel kind of profound, but really you're on step one of the journey. That's the surface. You now see the surface for the trees. And I've used this analogy many times. People look at the tree and the fruit and they say, wow, that's a beautiful tree. I want a tree like that. I want to be that tree. Look at how big it is and how sturdy and old and powerful and vibrant it is. And you can feel the energy of it. And look at how big those fruits are. Look at how beautiful those blossoms are. But no one actually recognizes that that tree looks like it looks because beneath the surface, in the dark, in the rot, it is rooted deep. Okay, so it is rooted in the dark with the bugs. Okay, and the cold and the wet and the damp. In the dark. It could not look like that without its deep, deep roots. Okay. So it's going to feel profound at first when you start to recognize what's happening on the surface from a different perspective, or to go like one inch deeper, right? So reading a book and acquiring knowledge isn't changing your belief or behavior yet, but it's giving you the opportunity to see it from a different perspective, which is step one. So after you read that book 5 or 10 more times and you start to unravel the layers, now you're going deeper. It's like, okay, you know, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 44. Okay. And when I was in my 20s, when you look at people that are 20, like they think they know everything, and they do. Like when I was 20, I knew everything. It's fucking crazy how much I thought I knew. Then all of a sudden I'm 44 and I look back at my 20-year-old self and I like, I knew nothing. Okay. And I use that lens because when I'm 60, I'm going to look back at my 44 today and be like, oh my God. Okay. And I'm not saying we weren't smart and capable in our 20s. What I'm saying is that we can make the surface, we can make those first steps of personal growth look really good in the moment and think we have it. Okay. And that is an excuse to stop right there and stay at the surface. How many people do you know are superficial, but underneath it all, they're very insecure? How many people do you know that wear the filter or the mask? Maybe you are that person, right? Okay. So I'm calling people in. I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you in. Because holy shit, we're all in this together, baby. We're all in this together. And this is what I mean. This is not a superficial show. This is going deeper. So if you're ready for it, keep listening. Turn it up. This is what it looks like. All self-sabotage is programming to avoid change. That's it. You have the surface, and at the surface, self-sabotage is when you knowingly or unknowingly place obstacles in your path, while simultaneously convincing yourself that those obstacles are logical, harmless, or even just who you are. Okay. Everyone understands this layer, right? This is what we quote unquote think self-sabotage is. And a lot of the time, the programming will lead you to believe that you're growing and you're expanding, but you aren't. And only time will tell. Okay. And we're going to go into the deeper layers of what self-sabotage is in a minute. But first, let me ask you, and I'm putting you on the spot here. How many of you made big 2025 goals this year? What did you want to do? What did you want to change? What were your goals? Now think about it. How's that going? How much time did you put towards your goals? How did you logically put obstacles in front of you and think it's harmless? Ah, well, I'm just not like that. Okay. How sophisticatedly did you let those goals slip? Listen, we're 8 months into 2025, ladies and gents. There's only 4 months left. Okay. Or are you chipping away at the discomfort of change? Are you in that position? Are you posturing yourself deeper? Deeper than the surface. Okay. How are you justifying saying the same? Here are some sneaky ways that we set goals to posture ourselves and feel superior, etc. Everyone kind of sets goals, because imagine you didn't set a goal. How would you feel? We just kind of do it. to feel part of the tribe. It's so interesting. I mean, I do it because I love setting goals. I have been programmed to set goals, small and big, and to achieve them. Remember, love must be earned for me. Like, I'm a high achiever, and it is a trauma response in some ways, but it's also serving me very well in life. I see the positives and the negatives. I think it's a really interesting topic of discussion. As I heal and go deeper into it and have more awareness, observing my mind and my thoughts, there are some things that I understand and can admit and see that are toxic, and other things that I can admit and see are extremely loving and powerful and empowering. So here are some sneaky ways that we get in our own way, okay, and how we justify staying the same. Now, I love to know how many of these resonate with you. And believe you me, I have said all of these things at one point or another. All of them. They have all made sense, and they have all led me to continue to behave in the same way and not win or not make foundational change. So I want you to recognize whether this is happening for you or not, and keep it easy. We're not judging ourselves here. This is the first step. Okay. These are all superficial self-sabotage things that we do. And I'm going to say why we do them and what the hidden truth is behind why we say these things. So here are just like five sneaky things. Okay. The first is the procrastinator identity. I'm a procrastinator. Okay. So this is a label that will feel safe, and it will make you feel like it's a personality trait instead of a choice. Because when you are procrastinating, you are choosing. It is a choice. But now we've made it an identity. This is just how I am. So what's hidden under there is that the procrastinator is often has a fear of failure. They don't want to be judged. So they just don't do it, because not doing it means no one's going to judge them. Or they have a fear of success. You know, what if I do stand in the spotlight? Okay. What would it look like if I was on the pedestal with the light flashing on me and the crowd cheering me and me on the cover of a magazine? Like, what would that feel like? It's overwhelming. So we just procrastinate, and it's easy, and it's who we are. Okay. The next one is, and this is a big one for me, I do this all the time, I still do it, is the whole identity around I work better under pressure. Okay, so this is a sneaky self-sabotage thing. It sounds like strength. Okay, it makes me feel like I'm a stronger person because I can handle the pressure. But it's usually a way of excusing my last minute flailing, scrambling, like, blah. Okay. So, you know, I work well under pressure means I don't do it. And then when it comes down to it, I scramble and I say something like, well, I just didn't have enough time. And there's a hidden truth there too, which is an addiction to stress, which is absolutely me. Like I've been extremely vocal about how I keep myself in fight or flight. Cause it gives me permission not to plan or commit to something until the last second. Okay. The third one is the classic. This is just how I am. Okay, so it's a classic identity, I don't know, shield. You're like shielding yourself. This is just how I am. Whether that's I'm messy, I'm bad with money, it's as boring, I'm not a runner, I'm not good at math, this is just how I am. But the hidden truth underneath that little self-sabotager, this is just how I am, is a self-sabotage surface level thing, you guys. How often do we say this? It keeps us from even attempting change because the identity, because our identity is threatened, right? It feels fixed. It's way safer to just stay back here, down here, than even attempt to change. So again, self-sabotage, that voice, that self-sabotager in your mind is literally posturing you to avoid changing. And this is just how I am, is that. So the next one is, I just need to be more motivated, or I just need to wait for the perfect time, or I just needed to feel more aligned. This is the big one. I talked about this in the success, the alignment illusion. Okay. This is blaming some future magic moment where alignment will arrive or motivation will arrive. And it all ultimately, like, the hidden truth underneath it all is that we're avoiding the real problem. We're avoiding the real problem of committing to ourselves, of creating a system, of being consistent, of speaking our truth, of acknowledging that change is going to actually feel very uncomfortable. So we wait for the perfect moment. The perfect moment will never, ever, ever come. You don't need more motivation, ever. If you think that the most successful athletes or people, CEOs, business owners, relationships, whatever, however you want to measure success, if you think that it has been a smooth ride the whole way and the divine timing has occurred at every moment, you are mistaken, my friend. You are grasping onto a lie. Nothing on this earth, nothing has ease and flow. Nothing. Just look at the earth itself. Do you think the trees have an easy time when it's minus 40 in the winter and they're losing all their leaves? The birds nesting their children during a hurricane? The polluted waters of our ocean? Nothing is easy. Okay. The last one is, I just almost went up on a tangent, but I'm going to hone it back in because there's so much more I'd love to say, is it's essentially the same thing as the last one, where we're motivated, like we need more motivation, is waiting for the right time, the perfect moment. So I combined the last two together. The right time never comes. This is fear. Waiting for perfection, okay, is fear disguised as, like, I don't know, patience. Okay. It's also going to keep you stuck in the learning loop, the time, the right time. So you're going to start binging podcasts instead of doing what you need to be doing. You're going to start taking more courses and trainings. Like, how many trainings do you need to make a move? You're going to start disguising timing as personal development instead of implementation. I just need to learn more before I start, you know, something like that. Telling yourself that you're going to get serious when work slows down, or the kids are back to school, or the kids are older, or money isn't so tight. The perfect timing self-sabotager is crazy. It says things like, I'll commit to this once things calm down. But life never calms down. It's a trick. It's a trick for you to stay the same. Really easy. So in short, people make their sabotage sound like a quirk or a circumstance. That's the sneakiness. So that they never have to confront the fact that it's a pattern in their life to keep them in the same spot in the comfort zone. But there's more, because I know that all of these resonate at some level. And for those who are practicing intuitive awareness, you'll be able to acknowledge that you're in fact self-sabotaging. And again, the only way to silence the self-saboteur is to acknowledge that it's there. It's like everything. We have to bring awareness to the fact that we're doing it. People are ashamed of it. They want to protect their self-saboteur. They subconsciously defend their self-saboteur. Now, why would we do this? Well, it's because of the deeper layer that I was saying. So we just talked about superficial layers. What's actually going on is way deeper. Are you ready for this? We're going to get into it. So the deeper layer of self-sabotage at its core, it's not laziness, it's not procrastination, it's not lack of discipline. The deeper layer of self-sabotage is actually loyalty. Loyalty to the identity that you've built to keep yourself safe. Loyalty to your programming. Loyalty to the version of you that survived rejection and shame and failure and criticism. You survived that. It's pretty powerful. Loyalty. Loyalty to, I don't know, this is very resonant for me, but a nervous system pattern that equated safety with staying small and unseen and in control. I told you guys that I did a psilocybin trip. I talked about it a lot in previous episodes. And my intention was show me what I need to see to heal. And the first thing it did was show me how much I'm a control freak. And I say that with love. Controlling others and what they say and do is a coping mechanism to extreme disalignment. So the best self-sabotagers on earth, you can wear this as a badge of honor, by the way, are very loyal people. They're very, very loyal. Self-sabotage is subconscious. A lot of people don't realize that it's loyalty. Okay. If I never finish, I can't be judged. If I don't succeed, I won't risk losing. If I hold myself back, it's safer. I won't have to face disappointment or rejection or shame or failure. It's not that you're afraid of failure or even success. That's how the surface will lead you to believe that you're afraid of something around failure and success. The deeper layer is you're afraid of the identity shift that comes with beginning something new. Because to succeed means the death of the old self and the comfort of the predictability of what that old self does. And your subconscious would rather keep you safe in familiar suffering than risk the unknown and the freedom of expansion, right? Freedom of expansion. So the identity shift, who do you need to become to get the thing that you want? Now, here's sort of like a profound truth. Like, how does that feel for everybody? It's kind of, hopefully you're feeling a little bit of like a lift of the weight of, so once we start to go deeper, this will feel easier and less like a burden. Okay. Cause ultimately self-sabotage is not the enemy. It's your loyal bodyguard. It's protecting you, but it's protecting you with like outdated narratives and programs. You don't need that loyalty anymore to grow. You don't like actually fight it. And we're going to go over this later. You thank it and then gently show it that you no longer need its protection. Okay. So I'm going to get a little bit woo here and this might come across as judgy. And if you're feeling triggered or judged already, that's good. I'm glad. It should feel like that. We have to get out of our comfort zones and see new perspectives and see things differently because the way things are going right now just aren't working for us. So some of you might feel threatened by what I'm about to say, but I have to say it because you are being programmed right now. Listening to this is programming you. Everything you expose yourself to is building up or tearing down your existing programming. Okay. Right now, as I speak, I'm actually in Whistler, BC on like a mini solo trip, but I flew across the country for one reason and one reason only. And that was to get into the room with top professionals within the World Financial Group. Okay. So that I could expose myself to their programming. I understand the benefit of getting into the room with people who think and believe differently than me. Okay. So I have big goals within the next 5 years. I'm building a business in finance. Okay. My goal in the next 5 years, I'm saying this out loud, is to help 3,000 Canadian families understand their financial programming, their system here in Canada. I want people to understand the system in Canada and how it's suppressing them. I want to help 3,000 families reach their financial goals, which generally is retiring with enough money. Okay. Within that, I also want to break the shitty program that young people will never own a house. How often is that repeated in today's society? I think that's bullshit. And I'm showing people, I'm showing Canadian families exactly how they can do it. And they're doing it. Okay. I want 150 licensed agents in my agency. That means I have to train 150 people. Okay. Walk them through the licensing, help themselves and families, because these 150 licensed agents are also going to help Canadian families as well as build their own careers in the most lucrative industry in the world. And get this, this is a big one. I want to make $83,334 a month, which, P.S., is $1 million a year. $1 million a year is $83,334 a month. These are my goals for the next 5 years. And if you're listening to me right now, you're listening to my words. Mark my words. This is already happening. I'm going to bring you along on this journey here and how I'm doing it. Because trust me, my loyalty to always just having enough, to working really, really, really hard every day and just getting by, okay, is really strong. My self-sabotager pipes up all the time. You're not a math person, Elisa. Who are you to think that you can give financial advice to people when you're not a millionaire yet? What makes you think people are going to trust you? You're never going to win because you don't have the right community. You're not a money person. You're so new. You're 44. You've never gone to school. You don't have a finance degree. It's all there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's nonstop. And I think I said this in the last episode, but last month I made $11,500 within World Financial Group. This is my part-time hustle. I joined to make an extra $1,000 a month and to help a few of my clients, the women that I was coaching. I joined it just to make a little bit of extra money as a side hustle. And 5 months later, I made $11,500. And I had a hard time holding the energy of that money coming in. It's very interesting. Okay. So here we go. We set out a goal. We start achieving the goal. It's going better than we expected. And all of a sudden, the energy shifts. People call this the vibe being off, and they think that it's not aligned. It won't feel like alignment. The self-sabotager is really, really good at telling you that your gut feeling isn't alignment. But let me tell you this, when you are not used to doing something, your gut feeling is like fear, fear, fear. This is uncomfortable. Change is uncomfortable. So you'll tell yourself that to back off. And that's what I did. I took a week off. I didn't schedule any appointments in August. The first week of August was really slow. I didn't keep the momentum. I couldn't hold it. I was like, holy shit, this is big. That's what it felt like to me. That was the way that my mind justified sabotaging my goals. And guess what? This month is not going to be a big moneymaker for me. And I'm using money because, as you guys all probably know, I have been really breaking free from the poor man's mindset. I'm breaking free from the poor man's programming. And this is part of it. It's literally not just like a snap my fingers and it's gone. And now I'm going to think like a rich person. It's like a continuous, there's so many layers. So this month isn't going to be a big moneymaker for me. I helped way less people. Okay. Because it felt uncomfortable to help and get compensated so highly. I'm also used to trading my time for a specific amount of money as opposed to five times that amount of money. So I battle with getting paid that much money. Why? Because a big part of it is because I was programmed to be poor and to give my money away. you will have nothing and you will be happy. Okay. Just work harder when you need more. Stuff like that. Give your money away. You want a beer? You want a beer? Let me buy your drink. Let me. I don't know why that just came to my mind. It's just like such a funny thing that like Canadian macho men do. They're like, they buy you whatever. It's so funny. Anyways, I digress. So the energy of receiving is also deeply tied to self-worth and value and money making. And ooh, it's so deep. It's a deep level of self-sabotage. And I would be happy to make an entire episode on self-worth and wealth. So if that interests you, hit me up. We can do that. But the long and short of it is this. Think of, you know, self-worth. And this is how what I'm diagnosing. And this is how I'm like, I fall asleep at night. I dream of this. If you think about self-worth as like a thermostat, okay? So no matter how hot the financial opportunities get around you, you will unconsciously cool yourself back down to a level of wealth that you believe you deserve. And that's what I did. I literally just did that this month. Meanwhile, people were praising me. I was getting all this recognition. You're doing so great. And deep down, so that's the surface. The surface is, look at me, look at how good I am. But underneath, I was like, I am fucking uncomfortable as hell with this shit. So I'm going to back off. And with awareness, I was like, oh shit, I backed off. That was the uncomfortable. Okay, now I am aware of it. So I am going to either stay the same, keep choosing to back off and get the consequences of that, or I'm going to step on the gas again and move through the discomfort of making more money helping people. Isn't that odd? How it's an internal battle for me. I am choosing my life. Okay. So if you subconsciously believe you're worth, I don't know, 60K a year, you'll unconsciously sabotage raises, bigger opportunities, business that could take you further. You will. That's not me. I'm not like that. Whatever all those lines are, right? It's just who I am. I just, you know, I'm waiting for the right time. It's okay. I just, you know, you procrastinate. All of those things are going to come. All the surface level things are going to come. Okay. If you raise your self-worth, your financial ceiling will raise with it because you allow yourself to step into spaces and opportunities and conversations where bigger money exists. And this is exactly why I'm in BC. And the timing of me coming out here couldn't have been better. I do recognize that because I'm like in it and I'm observing it. And I want to be around people who have the things that I have. So I put myself in the position to get programmed, for lack of a better term, from the people who have achieved what I want to achieve. This is the environment pillar of success, you guys, that I talked about in the last episode. So like I spoke to, I ended up speaking to a man, his name's Brendan Hendricks. Okay. So I was in BC. I was in Victoria at a big World Financial Group, soiree. Okay. And Brendan Hendricks was one of the leaders, as well as our fearless leader, Sean Park. They hosted, this opportunity for people. And, you know, he's a CEO inside of World Financial Group. He's 30 years old. And he makes $333,334 a month. And he guesses how much that is a year? $333,334 a month. That's $4 million a year. That's what he makes. The crazy thing is that you wouldn't know it. He's so humble. He's kind. He's generous AF. He literally flew his top 8 teammates to Victoria. They rented the penthouse. They went deep sea fishing. They golfed. They ate like kings and queens. And yes, Brendan paid for all of it with his own money because he values connection and generosity and building people up and inspiring them and getting everyone in the room together. Doesn't that sound like a room that you want to be in? Like a program or a team that you want to be a part of? Sure does for me. So imagine this opportunity was given to me. Alisa, come and be in the room with these people who are doing the things that you want to do. And I listened to myself sabotage her. Oh, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not as good as those guys yet. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not, you know, I'm not a finance person. And what do you think would happen to my goal if I listened to that? Because trust me, that comes up all the time. Do you think I'd reach my goal if I listened to that voice in my head saying, you're a ski coach, you're a mindset coach, you're not a finance person. Who do you think you are? It would be so easy to just back off the gas. Say, ah, Victoria is so far away. Oh, it's going to cost me money. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, I need to stay home. Oh, whatever. It'd be so easy. It's literally what I did the first week of August. That was so easy. I didn't even think about it. I just did it. So, you know, I just need a little bit more knowledge. I just need a little bit more experience. I just need to have this many agents underneath me. I just need to be making this much money before I'm seen in this room. The timing is off right now. I'm just not like that, right? Again, we aren't battling against our self-saboteur. You might, like, you can try to battle it. You can try. I sometimes, like, straight up say fuck off to that voice in my head. Don't get me wrong. But the way I'm going to reach my goal is by reprogramming my identity. Who do I need to become to make $1 million a year in this business? Well, the question is, I don't know. I haven't made $1 million in this business. Just like you haven't reached your goals. So who are you learning from? Who are you going to get in the room with? Who are you listening to? And what are you doing that they're doing? You know, I know this works firsthand because I've done it before. This is not my first rodeo. And it's an easy decision for me to get on a plane and fly across the country. I've done it with relationships, with my own self-worth and self-respect over time. Remember, I used to weigh 240 pounds. I was a failure as an athlete. That was my identity, and that ruled the show. And that self-sabotager, like, led me to avoid all responsibility and every opportunity. I'd just get drunk and numb and eat ramen noodles and blame everybody. Right? I did this around all the programming of that, you know, missed Olympics. But let's talk about relationships for a second, because I do have a book coming out, you guys, really soon. Yes, I wrote a book on exactly what to do and how to do it when it comes to reprogramming your relationship beliefs and how you can move through the self-saboteur in your relationships. Most people have one, and it's disguised in many different, it's many different logical things that make sense. So surface layer of self-sabotage in relationships, it's going to look like pushing love away, right? Before love can reject you. Settling for less. Tolerating bullies. Okay. Thinking love is a prize or that needs to be earned. That was me. Those are surface. Okay. The deeper layer at its core, self-sabotage in relationships is about safety. It's not about love. Your nervous system's wired to protect you. That's why you sabotage, because it thinks it's protecting you from the discomfort of change. Change is uncomfortable. So when you feel the discomfort in all areas that you're trying to change, that's not you going out of alignment. That is you going into alignment. You have to move through that. If you go back, you're not expanding. And people have to loop in this a lot. Like, I looped in this a ton with relationships. I dated man after man after man after man until I was like, holy shit, I'm the common denominator here. Okay. So if you somewhere along the way were programmed to link love with rejection or abandonment or not being enough, Your subconscious decided it's safer to block love than risk being destroyed or heartbroken. Something like that. Okay. So the layers go deep, deep, very deep. But the point is that you need to recognize, you need to have awareness and compassion for yourself that sabotaging in your relationship, that you are part of the common denominator. That's what happened with me. And realizing that literally changed everything. I was able to slowly but surely reprogram my beliefs around love. And it's all in the book. And then I attracted Michael. Michael came in. You know, Michael is the exact person I wanted in my life. He never criticizes me. He always speaks highly about me when I'm not in the room. He enjoys my company. He protects me. He holds space for me to keep figuring this shit out. He holds space for me to fuck up. He rubs my feet every night. He cleans the toilets. He does all the disgusting shit I hate doing. I fall asleep in his arms every night. We have deep conversations. We don't agree on all things. But we also don't hold our disagreements against each other. And I trust him fully. And I could go on and on and on and on. But rest assured, before I did that reprogramming, before I had the awareness that I was the common denominator, before I spent 3 years single reprogramming my beliefs about love and reading the book, The Mastery of Love, 30 plus times, which I highly recommend to do, by the way, I would have seen Michael and I would have passed him by. And I've talked about this many times. Actually, I wouldn't have even seen him. He would have been boring or too nice. In my mind, I would have dreamed of him as a partner. Yes. But in the reality, you know, like in the reality, I would have sabotaged that at a deep level because of my programming. Get it? So if you're still listening, I love you. Only the hardcores are left here. So well done. A reframe about all of this is self-sabotage in relationships isn't you ruining good things. Okay. Your subconscious is saying, I'd rather feel in control of losing love than powerless and being canceled or dumped or abandoned. Okay. Or something like that. Loyalty to the way you've been programmed to see the world or see love or see relationships unconsciously. Okay. So if you haven't noticed, I repeat things a lot. Why do you think I do this? It's because repetition is foundational for programming. It's foundational for your subconscious beliefs. It's how most of us have been programmed. It's the foundation of programming. So hearing something once probably won't push the needle. Okay. It's like teaching your kids how to speak English. How many times did you have to say the word mama for them to start saying it and know what it means? You have to say it a lot. A lot. So what you're exposing yourself to on repeat will program you. This, I love the frickin' quote there. Happy people see the world happy. Sad people see the world sad. I see this all the time. Like I watch friends, colleagues, coworkers, acquaintances, influencers. I see what they're niching down to. Like everything on social media is all about niches. And I see people like that are heavily into politics, heavily into religion. And all they're doing is collecting evidence in an algorithm to support their beliefs on repeat. And the more that they repeat those things and get those things fed to them, the more they're going to believe it. So they're going to believe the world is doomed. They're going to believe that God is their savior. They're going to believe that, I don't know, Maha is terrible. Okay. They're going to believe that the world, that climate change is like destroying the world or whatever it is, whatever you believe, you're going to just see the world that way. You will see the world that way and you will dismiss anything else that comes in. It's wild. It's how we're programmed. What you are exposing yourself to on repeat will program you. Now, if you're in a situation where you find yourself continuously self-sabotaging your dreams and your goals and your plans, whether they're big or small, you're kind of like, fuck, I hate my program. Like, I suck at this. I don't want to live like this anymore. It's so hard. I'm exhausted. Like, why do I keep doing this shit? Why do I keep putting myself in this exact same position? Why do I keep waking up and grinding and going to bed exhausted? Why am I like, what is happening here? Okay. That's loyalty to a program that probably served you at one point in your life. And it no longer is. This is the whole let go of what no longer serves you. Okay. Good luck with that. If you're not going below the surface, because what you will just do is literally like laterally move onto something else and become obsessed with that and think that it's saving you, but it's just a temporary fleeting bullshit thing on the surface. And yes, I have a lot of experience with that too. Okay. So the first thing you need to do is to accept that this is happening. I am self-sabotaging myself is the most powerful thing you can do. And here's my final parting gift to you. Take it or leave it, because as you can see, I don't think self-sabotage is the enemy. It's a program. And like all programs, you can change it with awareness. So number one, this is what I want you to do. Number one, awareness without judgment. This is intuitive awareness. Observe your mind. Observe your program. You know, if like you're in your mind right now, the most intuitive aware, understand that there is a thinker and there is a listener. Who is listening to those thoughts? That's your like essence in your soul. So have awareness of the thinker and the listener. Become a third party of your programming. You have to start seeing the patterns. So instead of like, oh, I'm procrastinating again. I can never do anything. I'm just such a mess. Everything's disorganized. Blah, blah, blah. Like, witness yourself saying those things, because you will. Then once you can observe yourself without judging it, because you didn't program yourself. Someone else programmed you. You are now programming yourself. It's like you were domesticated though in a certain way, and now you're self-domesticating. When you're a kid, you had absolutely zero control over how you were programmed. So you had zero control about what your parents taught you, what you learned in school, what culture you were raised, what country you were born in. Well, maybe you did if you believe in the soul contracts, but whatever. You had no control about how you were programmed, but now you do around how you're self-programming. So you can shift to like, I'm noticing that I'm procrastinating. I am noticing this. Then you can take some deep breaths. You can put space between yourself and those thoughts and create space to choose something different. Awareness turns like your unconscious blind reaction into a choice. It's awesome. Okay. That's number one. Number two, thank the saboteur. It's really weird. Fighting it is go for it all you want. I mean, it's going to happen. You're going to tell it to fuck off. Fine. But say, thanks for keeping me safe all these years. I love you. It's like you're literally thanking your inner child, because the self-saboteur is the inner child. I don't need this protection anymore. I've got me. Thank you. It disarms the shame and begins to sort of like build trust. I'm sorry for what you must have gone through. Thank you. Thank you for keeping me safe. I'm good now. Okay. Then we need to look at the identity piece around this. Maybe it's a glow up. Maybe it's an upgrade, whatever, however you want to see this. Self-sabotage, it thrives when your identity and your goal don't match. For example, I'm someone who always gives up when things get hard, right? I'm a yo-yo dieter. The upgrade is going to be, I'm someone who follows through even when it's uncomfortable. So you need to like change the way you identify. Who do you need to become to achieve the goal? Okay. Next, we just need to start doing something. Micro actions, big actions. I mean, you don't have to fly across the country, but it certainly is a big, bold move. Being big and bold, going after the thing you want, you know? Self-sabotage often comes from overwhelm. So, you know, you can take micro actions. You can study for 5 minutes. You can, I don't know, meal prep, right? Whatever your goal is, there are little things you can do. And it's little things consistently over time. The bottom line is you stop sabotaging by force, by reparenting your inner protector, your inner child, and teaching your body that success is safe. You have to teach your body that success is safe because it's going to feel unsafe. Making that kind of money last month felt unsafe for me. Holy shit. But my goal is to make 8 times that amount every single month for 12 months. And then for the next, you know, 15 years in this business, every month building. How are we feeling? How are we feeling? Are we feeling good? I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. Awareness is key, my friends, to the self-sabotage. Listen to it. Listen to your programming. Take deep breaths. Put space between yourself and the thought. The thought is not who you are today. It is the loyal servant of your old program. In that space, you can choose. What are you choosing for yourself today? You can go back or you can go forward. Both are right. Right? So, I think that's it for me today, you guys. That was awesome. Go listen to the previous episode if you haven't already. It's episode 218. Go set some big ass goals for yourself, my friend. Do not settle. Stop surrounding yourself with people who don't want what you want. Pay attention to the voice in your head and decide, who do I need to be so that I can achieve my goals? All right. Have the best day, everyone. Peace. Okay, I'm over here giving you a big virtual hug because you just finished another episode of the Elise Unfiltered podcast. If you haven't done so yet, I'd love for you to share the love and head over to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify and give the show a 5-star rating. I'll give you bonus points for leaving a written review. And if you're looking for more, head over to ElisaUnfilteredCoaching.com for show notes and all the links to all things Elise Unfiltered. Have the best day, everyone. Until next time.